Good morning, everyone. Several weeks ago, Brother Tim reached out to me and asked if I would be willing to share a short message this morning. And we're going to be focusing on the one another scriptures that are in the Bible. So before I say any more, I'd like to say a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come to you, we worship you, we honor you today, Father. We thank you for all the wonderful things that have happened already in our church service. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with a wonderful community of people. God, I pray, Lord, that the words I have to share today would be from you. I pray, Lord, that you would calm my heart. I pray that you would work through the words I have to say, that you would just be glorified today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I really appreciate everything James brought this morning in his devotional, his short message. It was really good to have the visuals and to see all the different things that we can have through community and have through the gifts of the Spirit that can be brought to us from our group of people. So, I feel like I need to start with a confession a little bit, that each one of us has our own giftings, and it was just awesome to see how James was able to take his giftings and the things he does at work to share such a beautiful message. And this morning, I feel like I'm here with a couple of pieces of paper and just a voice and my own energy to put behind it. And I feel like I'm a little unprepared and a little not ready to share, but that's okay, because we each have our own way of doing things. As I've been considering and pondering through the subject of one another, I had taken some time and I had spoken to my children and I had asked them, I said, what does it mean to you to do things to one another? And they were all kind of like, well, what do you mean, Dad? Like, what are you talking about? And it was at that point that I realized that obviously within the church, we're not talking about things in the Bible about one anothering very much. And it's interesting that we call it one anothering because that's really not a thing. It's actually just a couple of words that we're using to describe things that we can do for one another, do to each other. So as I looked into it, there's about 100 times that the phrase one another is used in Scripture. And out of those 100 times, most of the time it's directed towards things that we should be doing for one another. So a couple of stories from my life as I was going through the process here is we all have fights and we all have struggles that we face on a regular basis. And through those things, we can either choose to learn and grow, or we can choose to become bitter and isolated and stay individualistic. So one of the things that happened this week is I made a comment to a coworker in kind of a snide way. Just, I was trying to have fun with the situation and it didn't go well. And I struck a chord with him and he snapped back at me and I snapped back at him and we just really yelled at each other and it really just didn't go very well. And there was a lot of conflict there. Okay. And of all my coworkers that I work with on a regular basis, he's the only one that our values are the closest to the same. He's the only one that goes to church on a regular basis. He's the only one that's been married for a long period of time. And it just seems like, man, we just can't get along. Like, there's always a strife and this conflict. And it's just frustrating at times. But, and in some ways, I'm like, man, I just want to set up a boundary and I just want to hold my ground, but I had to realize that God's trying to teach me something through this thing. So I read a story, or I went home and I flipped open this book to read to my wife while she was working on a project, and the name of the chapter was forgiveness. And so God asked me to forgive, so I had to go and I had to forgive this person and restart our relationship on fresh ground. So sometimes we have to humble ourselves before we can work on loving one another. So moving forward here with one anothering, I also want to create part of the urgency that I see of why things that we can do for one another is under attack. And I want to go to Matthew 24 and see what kind of days we're living in. First scriptures I actually came across with one another in them in the New Testament. And most of these scriptures, all these scriptures will be out of the New Testament. So in this, it's mostly going to be a lot of scripture. I'm not going to give a lot of explanation, but I want you to consider and ponder what we're talking about. Matthew 24, verse 4. Some of this is extra scripture, but it just kind of gives context. See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, I am Christ. And they will lead many astray, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. So we're living in a day when the love of many is growing cold. People are betraying each other. People are backbiting one another. And the truth is, we don't have to live there. The majority of us have been saved through faith, and we walk in grace. And so we're commanded to do a lot of things for each other. One of the things I came across that the most of is that we were to love one another. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. John 15, 12 and 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commands us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Beloved, if God so loved us, so also we ought to love one another. No one has seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. There's a lot of love that needs to be shed. I have a definition for love. It's in another one of these passages that I want to read later. It's Colossians 3 and verse 14. And it says, above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. It is something that holds us together in perfect harmony. It is not something that we're going to be tried with. It's something that's going to bring us together in unity. I'm going to move on into Galatians 5. For you were called to freedom, brothers, and do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. If you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. In Galatians 6:1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Stepping back in this, I want to go to Romans 12, where it talks again about a section of Scripture on how we are to treat one another. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Another passage of Scripture that I think really illustrates how we should act as Christians is Colossians 3. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God, and set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then will you also appear with him in glory. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, some of you may have wondered why I chose to read the good parts and skip the bad parts. And I want to go back to Colossians 3, 5, and I want us to think about what's holding us back from loving one another, forgiving one another, and keeping us from walking in those things. And that is listed out in Colossians as well. So it says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie one to another, seeing that you have put off the old self with his deeds and with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew or circumcised or uncircumcised or barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. So, even as Christians, we're not perfect, and we fail. And we pick up the things that are from the old man. As much as we'd like to think that we don't, we do. And we fall. We fall in impurity and passion and evil desire and sexual immorality and covetousness. We compare ourselves to one another. And it holds us back, I think, from doing what Christ has asked us to do in the scriptures that we've been reading here. Comparison is a terrible thing, and so often we allow the enemy to come in and throw those things in our ways and tell us lies that, well, I'm not good enough, or we allow fear and doubt to come in and control us. So I know that what happens for me is that I've allowed fear sometimes to come in and go, well, if I were to tell anybody at church that I failed in whatever area it is, then they're not going to love me. They're not going to think, they're not going to care about me. And we allow all these lies to come up, and they're not true. And I think we need to put those things behind us, along with the practical things here as well. But the devil keeps bringing those things over and over and over again. And we need to take those things and we need to throw them out where they belong, in the desert. And we need to allow the Spirit of Christ to come in and dwell in our hearts so that we can do those things which are convenient in loving one another and setting our minds on things above. The book of James also has some scriptures on one another that go right along with that. James 4:11 says, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. Sorry, my ESV and my King James get mixed up sometimes. The one who speaks against a brother or judges a brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. James 5:9, do not grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. And then James 15, one of my favorite verses about one another's, is therefore confess your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Or in the ESV it says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. However, I still like it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Moving on to 1 Thessalonians. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another, as for all, as we do for you. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good for one another and to everyone. And a final passage also pulled out of Thessalonians that I'll read here. Therefore, take courage. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no man repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us and greet everybody with a holy kiss. So as we go about our week and as we go about thinking more and more about community, let's think about how we can reciprocate treating each person in love, bearing their burdens, and fulfilling the law of Christ.